Really briefly, last Sunday, we hit you almost last minute with an Undie Sunday to kick off our missions week. Somebody came up with an idea that was a little bit late, saying, what if we all brought underwear and socks that people could use? And we started to count so we could report back to you, and we gave up. It was unbelievable what you all did. And when we brought a fraction of it down to Nehemiah Mission for their free store to load it up into bins, the lady cried when she saw it. She said, you have no idea what this is going to mean to people, real people. And some of it's going out on Blue Bus. We'll be using it much. How can I say thanks for being the Church of Christ and for responding and doing that last minute? Thank you. I'm so glad. We have a couple of really neat things coming up. A Liberian district superintendent will be here on a Thursday night for a short program and update us on our relationship with the Liberian church, what's happening. We have a Friday fellowship re-beginning in our church. You can see information in the bulletin to have lunch and be a part of a Friday fellowship gang at the rec center. And most importantly, if you have a bulletin, you'll notice the tear-off one last time is devoted to our consecration Sunday. There's a story in the Bible, if you would even just tear that off now to get ready for an announcement later that comes up. There's a story in the Bible about a king who wants to have this great, big, huge party, and he invites everybody, and he says, it's not a free thing, but it's already been paid for. It's already been paid for, not in our church budget, but some really generous people have stepped up, and they want to have a party, and we're so afraid we're going to have to go to the highways and byways and start inviting people to fill the hall, but we would rather you. If you're brand new to our church or visiting and you're thinking, am I allowed to do this? Answer, yes. Check a box that we will love for you to come. If you've already checked the no box but you change your mind, check yes today. And you'll have a moment later to do it, but if you'd pull that out and get ready. So thank you for being here. It matters that you're here. It matters especially to God that you're here. Welcome to worship.
The beauty of fall is about to be revealed to us, Lord, by the changing of the color of the leaves. And as we look at the landscape of your beauty, may we be reminded of the change that you can do within our own hearts and how we can come to life and reflect your beauty to the world. We would pray that we would be your vessels of grace and peace and hope in a world that desperately needs to hear about your love. We would pray that you would put people in our paths that we could touch with your love. We'd pray that all of our hopes and cares would be aligned with your will. We pray that this body of Christ gathered here would be connected to you in a deeply, deep way. That our hearts would beat with the rhythms of your love. That healings would occur. That freedom in giving would take root. And through that freedom, that we would experience joy. This we pray as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you remain standing, if you would and are able, please, for the reading of the New Testament gospel passage? It comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 12 and following. Once, when Jesus was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. He saw Jesus. He bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you choose, you could make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I do choose. Be made clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one. Go, he said, and show yourself to the priest, and as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing as a witness to them. One day grass will wither, flowers will fade away, but the word of the Lord will live forever and ever. Thank you. You can have a seat. In non-typical Lucan form, for Luke loves details about stories. There is no indication of city, there's no chronology of encounter, there's no name given to this leper, no word of why, no mention of how, just a very simple story. A man covered in sores, lost all that he knew dear. According to Jewish law, he would never eat at a table with another family person as long as he had leprosy. He was not to be touched or touch. In fact, according to Talmud, if the wind were to blow, he was not to be within 30 paces of another human being. He lived in exile in a habitation or a colony outside of a city wall called the Living Dead. He was, according to law, to cry out unclean so that people who came around him wouldn't come near him. Beyond the physical damage that was done to this man with leprosy, even more damage around the pain of loneliness. He lost all that he knew dear. He knows the pain of a widow's heart, of a student who feels ugly and left out, of one who suffers deep and silent shame. He gets what it feels like to be recently divorced and have no touch or hug or understanding in a way that was once intimate to him. The psychological consequences of leprosy are far greater than the physical consequences. According to Mother Teresa, she said, the greatest form of human poverty is that of loneliness. And she said, and I continue to quote, that she has seen more human poverty in American suburbs than she ever saw in Calcutta. She said, people are lonely and estranged and disconnected. A college student not too long ago in Kansas City ran a small ad in a Kansas City newspaper that said this, and I quote, I will listen for you to talk uninterrupted for 30 minutes, and a phone number. And within 2 weeks, he was getting 20 calls a day for $25 every half an hour. That's a lot of Tootsie Rolls. He almost dropped out of school, he said, because he was making so much money simply listening to people to assuage their loneliness. In our churchwide study book, the topic of the week is around the dark night of the soul or journeying through the wall of pain. Pain changes us. Loneliness shifts something in us that makes us either more compassionate and more tender and more humble and more seeking, or it turns us bitter and toxic and angry and withdrawn. Pain or loneliness never leaves a person unaffected, one way or the other. C.S. Lewis said it well this way, pain becomes the great megaphone of God to awaken a deaf world. We hear something deeper and more profound in our loneliness, where we sometimes are able to let go of people-pleasing and success fantasies and judgments and pride and comparison and running from what's difficult to lean into, pushing through to a way of the cross and the dying of self and the giving of new life. This particular leper comes to Jesus and doesn't cry unclean. He's a rule breaker to begin with. Or he sees something in Jesus that might be open to breaking rules. He falls on his face and offers no demands, no bartering, no deals to cut, no reminders of the promises of Jesus. He just comes open-handed, empty, abased, humbled. He knows he can't engineer his process or perform or achieve in a way that would change his circumstances. He just comes with naked faith, asking for the help of God through Christ. Humbled into the dirt. The word humble, humus, comes from the Latin word dirt. It means being earthed or grounded or in touch with what's real. I used to think that being humble just meant that a pretty woman would call herself ugly and a clever person would call themselves dumb, and we would walk around and say that we're worms so other people could say, oh, no, you're really not. And it would feel really humble. But now I know this. I think I know this. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking that you're bad or dirty or wrong. It's a moment where you're not thinking so much about yourself at all. And in this moment, he's thinking, hoping, and rooting that Jesus might be willing and able to break a rule of nature or a rule of religion. He comes and begs, please, he says, please, if you're willing. And in direct violation to Jewish law, Jesus says that he not only is willing, and he could have healed him from a distance, could he not have? But he reaches and he touches this unclean man, touches him, and breaks a rule of religion, and whispers to him, he is willing, and he shows them he is able. I love that Jesus is a little bit of a rule breaker. I don't know if that's just me sharing a little bit more of my own story than I should. I remember as a kid walking to school, and there was one guy on the way to school, he had his yard roped off. It said, stay off the grass, with an explanation, not even please. Me and my brothers thought, I bet we could get on his grass. We just thought that. You know, if he just left the sign and the string down, it would have been all well. You know what I mean? Just aren't some rules just aching for you to step? You're looking at me funny. I'll just move on. Oh, boy. It was that brother over there, not me so much. Love that Jesus breaks the rules of society. He breaks the rules of kissing up to important. He loves the unlovable. He forgives the unforgivable. He touches the dirty. He heals those who have no hope or nothing to offer or barter or claim but pleading their own guilt. Jesus crosses the rules of religion in to the knowledge and understanding that there's only one rule with him. You matter to him, and he will break rules to find you and to seek you and to rescue you. He broke rules of Sabbath. He broke rules of nature. He broke the rules of death itself and stuck his tongue out at it and conquered the grave. Jesus can and will touch that which is broken and dirty in us that we hide in shame. There was a little girl who came to a royal family camp. She was from the foster system without a mom or a dad, orphaned to our system. After 5 years at a royal family camp, she said to me her last year before she graduated, later to come back as a counselor in training to love kids that she could get because she was a healed leper who could come back to a community and know a deeper compassion, a deeper love, a deeper mystery from her own dark night of the soul. She said to me, one day at camp, I whispered to Jesus, he could have me and come into my heart. And she said, I've been lonely again, Pastor Dave, but never, never, never so lonely as I was. Something changed, she said in me, forever. Some of you know that experience. I remember my own. How do you explain it? As a young man in college, whispering to God, if this isn't a joke, you can have me. And in that moment, it was as though, no audible voices, but it was as though in this crowd of people, Jesus came over and slipped and sat down next to me and whispered, it will be all right. It will be all right, peace. And a peace has come that has never, never fully left. Jesus meets us in the dark night of our soul to transcend the loneliness and to break through and to make us deeper and more thoughtful. The story ends then with Jesus telling the man, teaching him how to give. Ironically, from the institution of which Jesus would break rules, he sends us back to it to bring new life to it. It's what we need here. We do. People who come back from Emmaus or from a healing moment from a Stephen minister or all these other settings who come awakened and remind tired us that God still is willing and able to rescue and to love and to heal. Jesus sends the man back to the institution that would harm him himself. But he knows this. The happiest and most blessed people in all the world are givers and people who come back into community. And he tells him, go show yourself to the priest. He doesn't say a good priest. He doesn't say a non-creepy priest. He doesn't say a perfect system or a church without flaws. He just says, go back. Go back and give an offering. I think his teaching is around an external motivation to begin with. The man must begin through obedience, maybe through the needs of the church that they need him, maybe through reactivity, maybe through oughts, maybe even through law. But soon something will shift in the heart of a giver. Something shifts in the heart of the giver that turns it internally, where I know that I give now because it changes me and shifts my priorities. It makes me a part of love rescues. It expands my capacity to say thank you to Christ. I anticipate the future with more joy and hope. I see now everything through my own cheap heart that once didn't want to ever give. A flow of gratitude that everything I have, everything I am belongs to God. And that a part of that can be given back so that that flow stays alive in me. It binds us to Christ. It awakens something powerful and beautiful. Isn't it interesting in the New Testament, the word believe is mentioned 273 times. The word pray 371 times. And the word give 2,200 times. Seven times the amount of commands to pray or encouragement to do so is that to give. If you looked at the step chart in a quiet moment on your own and you think, there's the church asking for more money, I wish we could think of it this way this year. Here's the body of Christ offering me a chance to grow in my faith, for my heart to be loosed, for my priorities to shift. And if we could all step up one step, literally, we would have a 30% bigger budget to touch other people and to change lives and to see other lepers released and cared for. I'll close with this quick story. One time, too. Constantine, when he was baptized and saw in the sky the sign of the cross that said, conquer through the cross, he marched crusaders or would-be crusaders into the Mediterranean waters hundreds of thousands of times, and people were baptized so that they could go fight in what they called a Christian army. Interestingly, the emperor asked that they would keep their sword hand out of the water so that as they were baptized, they could still have a hand to kill. Of course, in the name of Christ. It seems crazy, does it not? To have a person washed and forgiven and be filled with love except for one part that they could still do dirty with. And while it seems ridiculous today, sometimes we whisper to God, here, my Lord, you can have everything of me except for blank. And that blank creates fear and anxiety. I remember whispering to God, I'm afraid you're going to turn me weird. I want to talk different and act different and dress different. And then I found somehow the strength of a leper who could move forward and through the loneliness and the fear to believe that maybe whatever God invites us into can heal and change and redirect us and open us to brand new life. This is our hope for we who gather here, not to raise money here so much as to gather a community of broken people who seek to tell the world in love that there's another way to wholeness. Amen.